Hi, and welcome to Super Anti-Aging Podcast with your host, myself, Steve Halpern. Purpose of this podcast is to give you the latest useful health information that can make a difference in the health and wellness of you, your family, and your friends. So, quiz before I start. Who was the first holistic physician that was locked up for 20 years for saying things like food should be your medicine and medicine should be your food, and you want to treat the whole person, not the disease? Who was it? It was Hippocrates, 2,500 years ago. And every allopathic physician today takes the Hippocratic Oath. Imagine an oath to a holistic alternative care physician. How ironic. You know, lots of information that we hear from mainstream medicine is wrong. And one of the things that's been a standard is bed rest. You're sick or you're in the hospital, make sure you get bed rest. Peace and quiet and bed rest. Well, a recent study, going to be published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, showed that properly prescribed exercise, this was done to seniors, improved their recovery, physical, cognitive, balance, in the hospital and after they returned home. Now, we don't know how many of these individuals continued the exercise, but there it is. What we were told was wrong, okay? That you need muscle strength. You need to support your total system. Lying in a bed, I mean, if you can't move, that's one thing. Your intensive care, that's another thing. But if you can, you know, walking down the hall didn't do it. You actually had to have some strengthening exercise. So, another dogma hits the dirt. Okay, another interesting one was on fish oils. You know, you always see these studies. Fish oils, I don't know why they keep doing the same thing. Oh, fish oils, no good, doesn't make a difference. Vitamin D, no good. Well, and then interesting, they have a pharmaceutical fish oil that seemed to test okay in the study. Though the natural fish oil didn't seem to test okay, I wonder why. Remember, the problem is, let's go back quickly to the whole history of why is it that if I have a supplement, the animal studies have shown, say, to cure a disease, cancer, heart disease, arthritis. If I tell people about that supplement, I will get a letter from the FDA. And the FDA will say, no, you can't do that. You're making a drug claim. I say, but there's research that shows it can do this. Sorry. Can't do this. Now, how did this happen? Well, in the early history, until the early 1900s, very, very early 1900s, you had compounding pharmacies. The pharmacies were real pharmacies. There was no drug industry. They would make up concoctions that the doctor prescribed. Maybe it had cannabis, okay. Maybe it had even some heroin. I mean, all sorts of things. And a lot of herbal knowledge that was passed on and that the pharmacist knew. Well, a smart businessman said, how do we make money from this? Turn it into a real business. Well, they found that Feverfew, which has salicylic acid, the compound in aspirin, could be synthesized. Well, that would be great. But wait a second now. we have to patent it. So they patented it. And then they got laws passed. And the laws said a natural compound can never be a drug. No matter what it does. Now you hear that? That's really, really important. Because who is going to invest in the research on a natural compound that the FDA and the FTC won't let you make any claims for? Can't make any claims for a natural compound. And so if you go through all this stuff and all the research, it's practically useless from an economic point of view. So you have to find synthetic versions of natural compounds, which often don't work as well. And that's the name of the game. And then the pharmaceutical industry made sure they integrated themselves into the medical school curriculum. They made sure they got rid of homeopathic medical schools and schools, herbal medicine schools, so that they would have the monopoly and they would have the people to sell their drugs. Now, I'm not going to say it has not been benefit from the pharmaceutical industry. Yes, the discovery and promotion of antibiotics and HIV medication and TB medication. There's been wonderful things. Okay. Appropriate use of antibiotics, but there's been exploitation and economic control to stop what could benefit lots of mankind, individuals. There are great things in the Amazon jungle and African jungle and traditional medicine systems in Turkey and Ayurvedic medicine and Chinese medicine. They'll never be drugs, so they're never going to be clinically tested, and it's never going to become part of mainstream medicine. How sad. Okay. And so the next time you hear, well, there are no studies, the answer is, who's going to pay for the studies? And not only that, who's going to publish the studies? Most journals, many, many medical journals, have pharmaceutical support. And lots of studies get submitted to journals every month, and only a few are selected. And they don't tell you how they get selected. And it's usually, if it's a nutrition study, it's usually a negative nutrition study, especially in the mainstream journals. You might see something in the Journal of Clinical Nutrition or some of those specialized journals, but they don't get a lot of respect. And then online you have open source, where people can publish, but it doesn't have a whole lot of academic respect. Okay, so that's the reason when they say we haven't found the studies, the answer is, who's going to do and who's going to pay for the studies? Now, interesting enough, broccoli seed, broccoli sprout ingredient, sulforaphane seem to get some studies done. And that was because John Hopkins was interested in this for 20, 30 years. The idea that they supported a chemo prevention lab, and they looked at sulforaphane and cancer and other conditions, and that's been helpful. So you will see the research on the web. You'll see some clinical trials, not a whole lot, but some. And maybe there'll be more because there's an English company that's making a synthetic sulforaphane that they can patent. Doesn't seem to work as good as the natural stuff, the kind of stuff we have in Vitalica Physician, you know, the potent form of sulforaphane. So that's the story of, even though the herbal business now is a multi-billion dollar business because the public is getting educated and they see what the game is. And also because people get results. And if you get results, you share it with your friends, you put it online, you do testimonials, which again, have to be a little careful. FDA don't like, you can't make a condition-related testimonial, and you can't say this herb, with a company name, cured my cancer. You can't do that. See, it's part of that game. It's part of the pharmaceutical control game. So what else can I tell you that's new and that we really like a lot? Well, let me just briefly go over the confusion now of, it's a little controversial, but it's okay. The whole diet situation. Oh, I know what I want to talk about. Before I get into that, because I'm more interested in this right now, two food issues that are very, very, very important. If you look at your grain products and processed breads and flour, you'll see folic acid. Well, folic acid doesn't normally occur in those foods. How did it get there? Well, a law was passed that we should have food fortification of folic acid to prevent birth defects in women. Now, if they're taking a multivitamin, a prenatal, they're not going to get the folic acid-related problem. But here is a big problem. The folic acid that they use is a synthetic chemical folic acid. It is not the same as the folic acid that occurs naturally in food. Well, this is a big, big problem because you take natural folic acid and your body will turn it into an active folic acid. And most people can do that. Few people have a methylation gene, which you can screen for, and they need to take the active activated folic acid. But other people can do fine with greens and food. So what's the problem with this synthetic chemical folic acid? It seems to interfere with the manufacture of our active folic acid. You might actually be creating deficiencies through food fortified folic acid. Not a good thing. Another interesting thing I came across was the whole stevia issue. And you see Truvia and you see all these foods that add the stevia to it. It's not really stevia. Again, a patent game. Two chemicals are extracted from stevia, and these do not relate particularly to the whole plant. And then a lot of fake news, as our president likes to say, was created about stevia. The whole plant, that the stevia might be related to increased cancer and this and that. And it's been used by cultures for centuries. The whole plant. It's not toxic. But extracting these steviosides from the plant so you can put it into these products might have bad health problems. So, yes, it's sweet. And yes, it doesn't seem to increase the blood sugar the way sugar does, but there's so many alternative sweeteners that are completely natural that you don't have any problem with, and you might want to use the whole stevia plant. But I like inositol, tastes very, very, very sweet. Erythritol doesn't have any negative effects. Mannitol, then you have to be careful because if you take too much, you'll get diarrhea, but they have sweet tastes. They have sweet taste to it. Monk fruit, another interesting one. But there's an example of, I guess, the combination of the food industry and who knows, pharmaceutical people behind those companies created a chemicalized product, okay, that people think is giving them health benefits. So you got to read carefully, and we have so much health information. Unfortunately, some of it's contradictory and confusing, and there are lots of people who try, like myself, and try and sort this out. And I hope you learned something listening to this podcast. And if you did, and you enjoyed it, Please subscribe so I can be motivated to do more of these podcasts. And if you have questions, put them in the comments or email me at NutriSteve@hotmail.com. I'd be glad to answer your questions. So, have a great night or a great day or a great morning. This is Steve Halpern.